Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am Darren Moser, joined as always on the Starship Enterprise by Philip and Daniel. Philip, how has your Trek week been? Are you did you get home from Voyager? I'm trying to remember where you were.
I mean, obviously, just like everyone else, it's been a very Trek-filled week with the ending of Picard, the beginning of Strange New Worlds, at least if you live in America, and due to a VPN, I can live in America. And so it's been, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, if you live in the U.S., you don't care about this. But, you know, for those who don't live in the U.S., Paramount Plus has finally gotten a date in the United Kingdom and Ireland and in other countries. So it's coming next month, June 22nd, I believe is the actual date. So, you know,
I'm sorry, Philip, it's actually the 22nd month of the year because how the dates are written. It's not for a long, long time.
So it's you know, for most people that live in the United Kingdom and Ireland, you can't really talk Strange New Worlds because it's not available. So I watched it and I'm glad to talk about it with y'all. But other than that, and then doing work, I had my the Star Trek fan club I'm a part of. We had our regional awards, which I was in charge of. So I was glad to finally get that done. And so, yeah.
You were in charge of, and how many did you win?
All of them.
That's the thing. When you're in charge, you don't get any. Actually, that's not true. I got a little commendation for doing it. But anyway. So,
yeah.
So, well, a very Trek-filled very week. Good.
Well, and we obviously can fill in on it more next week, but I think we heard just today of the new Doctor.
Yep. We got the 14th Doctor announced. Yes. Sorry, because I don't want to say his name wrong. It's a...
I didn't know how to read it, so...
I've, you know, Shuti... I'm going to say it wrong. Give me 2 seconds. Because I don't want to say it wrong. Anyway, it's...
Putting you on the spot there, Philip. No, no.
Because he is a Rwandan Scotsman. You know, we have a lot of hyphenated in America.
There's, there's a combination
there. Yes, so he is the fourth Scot to play the Doctor. Here it is. Shuti. So it's his first name is Shuti, last name is Gatwa. So it's Shuti Gatwa.
Shuti Gatwa.
So a lot of people might know him from Sex Education series.
You know, I think people can pronounce that better than Benedict Cumberbatch. Once they get it dialed in, they need to do one of those episodes in the beginning where he's talking to two separate characters that are just random characters that we'll never see again, and he's like, "Oh, Mr. Shuti and Mr. Gatwa," and just to pronounce it on camera so that everybody is like, remember that scene with those two random people in red shirts? That's his name. Say it that way. Because like Hermione, you need to hold people's hands, I'm sure.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's very interesting to think of the Gatwa era of Doctor Who that we will have. So it's so it'll be exciting. So our Russell T. Davies, who will be the showrunner starting in 2023 with his Doctor. So it'll be interesting.
Is it actually going to be in 2023? That seems very soon for Doctor Who.
Yeah. I was going to say, usually it's a...
Well, we don't have a date.
You'll get it when you get it, Daniel.
It could be Christmas of 2023 for all
true.
I know.
Well, it's going to start with this Christmas special, and which is going to be at New Year's because you can't be at next year. So, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear in sci-fi news. And what about you, Daniel? Are you watching through something, reading something, or just clearing your schedule for Strange New Worlds?
I'll tell you what. I am in the middle of the Klingon conflict in Star Trek. So that narrows it down to...
A little bit.
No, of course. I'm still making my way through Deep Space Nine. So we just got to Way of the Warrior. And this is actually one of the elements of Deep Space Nine that I don't love, which was like the brief... War, whatever you want to call it, with the Klingons, which I mean, I get it, the bigger context of it.
The reason for Worf to show up is
right. And it's like, you know, Sisko like comes out of his office and he's like, the Klingons have left the Kittimer Accords. And it's just like, But we only do this for like three episodes, so it's like it feels like a big
Klingons temporarily stepped into the next room of the Kid Voracords and then came back. Yeah. Like they didn't really leave.
And of course, we learn why later. But it's just like it feels like they were trying to build up the stakes and they didn't need to do it so heavy. Like, oh my god, the Klingons are our enemies now. And
I'm kind of surprised that the Gowron, because it was Gowron, right, who was the head at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he didn't have some sort of like printed version of the cords, and he's literally on camera like burning them, like that's
eating
like
them,
nothing to do.
Burning a photo. Like,
it's like it feels like, you know, they're like delete. It's like, no, it doesn't have quite the same, you know.
I declare the Cuttermore cords in abeyance.
It's like, and it's so funny too, because there was a scene
what does Michael Scott say? It's like,
I declare bankruptcy.
Yeah. I declare.
You know, you can't just say something and it means anything. So, I didn't say it. I declared it.
Great. Now I want to see someone sitting down with Gowron. It looks like you're conquering more than you're.
But it was funny because there was a scene between O'Brien and Worf. And
remember me, Worf? Oh, yes, Chief.
It's even worse than that. He goes, remember when, do you remember the time that?
Pretty Chris Farley.
It was awesome. Do you remember? But it was, that's exactly what it was like, Phil, because he's like, do you remember the time that we had to save Picard from the Borg? And I'm like, that was 3 years ago, man. Like that was, and it was like the most eventful thing that's happened to anyone. Like, yeah, everybody remembers that. We were all there for that.
That's what Worf should say. Everybody remembers that. Pick something slightly more.
Ask
Just admit
Cisco
we didn't have a friendship on that ship, okay? Just admit.
Remember when we were both assigned to the same ship and used to nod at each other in the hallways?
Yeah. Remember when I was on the bridge trying to keep it from blowing up and you were giving birth to, you're helping Keiko give birth? Wasn't that a great day on the Enterprise? No, I think, I too wish that we'd had a little bit more of O'Brien Worf like connection. I think, you know, we get some fun with Odo where he's like, you know, how many times did the Enterprise get taken
over? I like
over
how you had that pad just ready. The whole time waiting for the Worf walking.
Let me see here.
Couldn't Odo just turn his hand into a pad? Like, look, this pad says what I think. So there you go.
Well, I can imagine the season 3, season 4 planning stage of like, all right, so we have an enemy, the Dominion, that we've been building up. Yes, the Dominion. And so in season 4, we're going to have a war with the Klingons. Wait, what did you say?
I thought you sneezed. did you sneeze?
I said, Klingons. Okay.
All right, so this week we are going to talk about Strange New World.
I feel like I need a haircut in order to talk about it.
Which one has the S removed?
Shave your beard. No, Strange New World is from Enterprise. That is an episode from Enterprise where they go on a weird planet. Worlds is the name of the show and the episode, which is also very confusing.
Ooh, that makes me want to have the series have an episode named after the series. Like Enterprise should have had it. I mean, E2 came close.
E2. Enterprise just does whatever it wants. Apparently.
I mean, how did Voyager not have an episode titled Voyager? It's such a generic title. It would have been so easy to fit an episode.
If you were to retitle a Voyager episode as Voyager, which episode would it be?
I mean, you could have the robot, you know, where Blana makes an android because he's, you know, sort of.
Prototype.
Oh, okay. Prototype. Okay. All right.
I mean, any of them, really. The racing, the racing one, where Tom's right, you know, Voyager.
All right.
You could have the one where the Doctor goes back to the Alpha Quadrant.
Sure. Okay. I see that one. Yeah.
Or the same thing. What about The Next Generation? Maybe the Masterpiece Society?
Yeah.
I was thinking the one with where they steal all the kids. The cloaking planet. It's a terrible episode, but I mean, it makes sense, right?
Right, and really starts.
Well, let's just all be glad that Star Trek doesn't have a history of one of the episodes has to be named the same as the series because it doesn't.
Deep Space Nine instead of Tarok Nor, you could have had Impok Nor. It could have just been Deep Space Nine.
Yeah,
flipped over.
Literally, any of the episodes could have been called Deep Space Nine. Almost any. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to think about that too much, but
the Picard of pilots should have just been Picard. I mean, Picard. You know, Discovery could have been Discovery Part 1 and 2. You know, come on.
Yeah, it does feel really lazy. I don't know why.
Battle of the Binary Stars.
That's a cool title. Battle of the Binary Stars is a cool title.
Yeah.
Strange New World is lazy. Why did they have two big themes going in this episode with death and then the first contact stuff.
Because
stuff
they're
you could
doubling
do.
Down on this show is going to be like TOS and you're going to visit Strange New World.
Oddly.
They're going to literally call it that.
Oddly, no episodes of Star Trek were called Star Trek. So.
That's right. We didn't get that thrown into an episode until First Contact. But Strange New Worlds, they spent like 10 minutes comparing this society to ours. This is not a strange new world. This is a very familiar new world.
That's right.
Why, this isn't even a good episode to use that title for. So why? I just feel lazy.
I think it was probably the Star Trek phenomenon of we're just going to put a placeholder there, guys. Like, what's
we'll
it called?
Think of something better.
Deep Space Nine. Like, it doesn't matter. It's a placeholder. And what's it called? The Next Generation. It's a placeholder. We'll come up with something better.
You know, it's growing on me. Let's just keep that name. So we have the pilot. Or is this the pilot? Or was the pilot season two of Discovery? Because that kind of... let's start there, because I was... It was almost enough for me to go back and watch season two of Discovery and refresh, because, man, you kind of need to know what's going on because they reference it a lot. It is really so much time has happened since season two of Discovery that I had forgotten that from this perspective, it's very much like
season
the next
four
year or, yeah, it's...
It was actually 3 months 2 weeks, 5 days, and 6 hours, Captain.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. So what'd you guys think of... I mean, it's mostly Pike, really, because while there's a little bit of confidentiality and
a little.
Classifiedness, you know, floating around due to that. But what'd you guys think of anchoring the start of this show in that event from season two of Discovery?
So there's a couple of things here. I really still hate, like, it actually brought up like terrible memories of how stupid season two ended. Like and now we're learning that like even admirals and other captains aren't high enough ranked to know about whatever. I think it's so dumb because people would know about Discovery, but, I did.
That's right. This was the erase from history so that the data doesn't get out. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'd forgotten that too.
Yeah. It's all stupid. It's all dumb. But I actually did think it was clever, kind of clever how they tied the event that happens on this planet to that.
Yes.
I was like, okay,
like that.
That's neat. That's an interesting way to,
they
to
got
do
a
it.
Really good picture of warp drive, and it totally messed up their society.
I liked the concept that this event would have effects, which I don't know why I didn't think about that, or why people didn't think like maybe there was other planets that saw this, but no. But I like that. But that they did lose me in the tech. Like, we saw the event. Okay, you got me. We took pictures in this pre-warp society, and from that we learned warp. I'm like, whoa, wait, all right, you gotta. That was definitely .. money.
Yes,
I mean, that was
yes, it was.
Yeah, but
we reverse engineered the picture we saw. Great warp drive. I mean,
well, think of it. I guess that you're not wrong, but I mean, more benefit of the doubt of like, yeah, let's say you not only a picture, but let's say you have scientific instruments that are detecting because they're pretty much at our tech level right now. So, you know,
how do you create
that
much antimatter?
These different, particles are coming off of that. And that must mean that it was reacting with this. And then it was cool how they tied it together. But yeah, I'm not denying that there's not a ..
I mean, whatever. I mean, I know you're going to go into this, but like, I mean, I could sit here the whole episode and give quibbles and complaints, but I'm very forgiving of this first episode.
Right. It's a pilot. You get to do whatever you want.
And maybe I will stay in that mood the whole series. I mean, no one cares what I think, but maybe I'll stay in that mood. But like right now I'm just like, yeah, you know, it was great. I liked it. I'm fine. I forgive anything that I have a quibble about and I'm moving on. I don't know if they just worn me down after three series or whether this story and characters are so good that I'm just like, you know what? Fine. Whatever. So
it's interesting. Cause I'm like kind of in an opposite place where I'm like, like, I would agree that I mostly liked the episode, but that actually makes me more cautiously optimistic, like, or cautious about it, because, like...
Don't hurt me again.
Remember that first episode of season two of Picard? Great, wasn't it?
I was going to say, we generally tend to be more forgiving for the first episodes, and then, like, as... But every single time, it's turned out to be... we won't talk about Picard.
And I will say, I feel that it is not a flash in the pan one episode. I feel like the next four episodes are more in the same spirit.
I mean, that's my opinion. Unless you're some sort of a, can you see the future, Darren? I don't know.
I've traveled from the future.
Oh no. Just like Pike. You're just looking at reflective service and I've seen the whole episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Those are grotesque moments. It's like,
well, but I think what theoretically will work in its favor, Daniel, not to speak for you, is that they haven't introduced a mystery that they have to solve for 10 episodes.
That is true.
Setting up a promise that, guys, there's this really big mystery that's going to be interesting. Follow us on this journey that we totally will make awesome.
I don't think you know how important Kirk's brother is, Philip. He is the universe-ending mystery that we have to solve
he
for.
He must die. So.
I hope he doesn't ever sad. That would be,
all the mustaches in the universe exploded at the same time. Oh, man.
No, yeah, and I will say, I was also kind of concerned a little bit that Pike's dread was going to become the through line that every episode is going to be, like, he's never going to actually sit in the chair and really be comfortable. But I will say it does dissipate and he goes into normal captaincy mode fairly quickly.
I was going to say, because just because of that, I laughed out loud when he sits in the chair, he gives his over the calm briefing, and as soon as it's done, he's like, okay, let me know when we got there. And he just leaves.
Goes. Like, I don't want to say.
I thought that was so funny. But anyways, I did want to say that element of the story was played super hard in this episode, and I assumed it was kind of wrapped up with that conversation at the end. So I'm glad to hear that it's not a huge like element.
Yeah.
That's like,
at most 1.5 more episodes, maybe, but it is not like he's having a counseling session every single episode to deal with that. Like, yeah, and I think that's good. Like, it is a part of his character. I don't want them to not talk about it, but I don't want it to be the new Spock shuttle that we talk about every single episode. And it's not.
And as someone who has watched it recently, and you can say there's no such thing as original story, so this isn't a complaint, but Daniel, very emissary vibes, the troubled captain who doesn't know if he wants to return.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Goes through a episode of redefining that grief.
It is very emissary vibes.
Rediscovering
his love for the job. Purpose. Yeah. It's a... Like almost everything in the
episode. We didn't see Sisko with a massive beard like before he comes to the station.
The problem, like everything in this episode, kind of played really heavy, like really, really over the top. Like, oh my goodness, there's like four scenes of people saying, "What did you see out there, Christopher? What was it?" You know what I mean? And like, and
right.
But some of the scenes work, like the one where Spock comes in and he sits down and has a conversation. He's like, you know, you're the captain, man. Like, it's not for a decade. Yeah. Like, don't even work. It's like, don't stress about it right now. Just be the captain. And I'm like, okay, cool. I can get behind this.
And I like
how they have Pike also kind of focus on, and I'm pretty sure this is in this episode, but like,
oh, no.
He focuses on the people who he saves in that moment. Is that something?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Right.
But, well, minor
spoilers for the next episode.
Write down a time marker.
But I think, you know, Spock having that conversation, because it's such a small moment, but I think it's interesting where Spock's like, you know, how soon from now is it? And Pike's like, no one's asked that question. Yeah, it's a good Spock question. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Good Spock's gonna cut right through. It's like, when are you supposed to die? So
I need to know.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna be right there, ready to sit in the chair.
And he's like, oh, a decade. And it was just, that was a really human moment too. He's like, Does that seem soon? It seems soon now.
God, like, and I don't know if it's Anson, because I've never
by
seen
your Earth time schedule. That's very soon.
I haven't seen Anson in anything except I saw him in a movie today. But that's all. Anyway, I haven't seen Anson in anything other than this. I mean, Discovery, but as his character. So I don't know if that's just the way he acts. But in both Discovery and Strange New Worlds, his Pike, who is both a very strong captain, but he still does have this laid back conversational style, which I don't know, right. People might find irritating, but I like where he's like, he can be heavy and also be like, does that seem like because I think it's that sometimes that vein of humor can kind of be like 100% with like a Tilly or the Trill, whose name I'm forgetting. But I think it's better when you have it in a mix. And just because 100% irritating to me, but like to have that kind of like, you know, having fun and being awkward, you can do that every now and then. And it's funny.
I mean, just, you know, we've talked about this already, but like Pike was the best part of season two, you know, not surprising that we're now have this whole series with him. I think he's great. I think he's a really interesting, really charismatic, really. And I'm sure we'll talk about his speech, which again, too way over the top, too heavy handed, but like, I almost bought it. Like, I was almost like, okay, like, I get this. You don't have to show a slideshow of all these wars and stuff. But
bet you didn't know Uhura could do a mean PowerPoint.
Yeah, that's right. Very quickly, too. Very quickly, yeah. I mean, that's a communication tool. I guess that makes sense. So,
yeah. So, you know, speaking about the overall plot of the episode, I was getting very much Orville vibes. Like, it was making me think, which not in a bad way, but just in a, like, that's kind of in the same space right now. So the whole going down undercover and like, but they did it really well. And there's challenges, you know, you have, Spock's genome not fully registering. And it's.
Sorry. I loved the moment when he goes, it's excruciating, Captain. And he just screams.
He's like, sorry, Captain. I must scream.
And then he's like,
much better. Oh my God. I thought that was brilliant. I really thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Number one and Spock, like I'm digging the cast, like the cast.
Which
is
one?
Really all of the cast.
Which number one?
Yes. Well, the original one, of course.
But, it's the, they're getting their, it's a heist episode. They're getting people out, you know, and then it becomes Star Trek where it's like, well, let's show you the errors of your ways.
Big speech time. Bring it home.
Yeah. Big speech time. But again, I felt it worked and, the PowerPoint's really good, but, not to jump right to the ending, but when I first watched this, that montage at the end where, you know, they're making it clear that the planet chose to join them amongst the stars, it got me. I teared up at it because it was like, that's a very Star Trek thing. That is the hope of the better future of bettering ourselves and choosing, you know, that path. And especially when you see like kids and, you know, elementary, like learning their dilithium matrix or, you know, whatever, like it didn't matter the specifics, but I love that part. I felt it was for me at that moment, I was hooked and I'm like, okay, this season, this series, this is going to be good.
I mean, I was shocked in a good way, I suppose, as much as you can be shocked in a good way. I was shocked when they were going through the PowerPoint and it's like, you know, this was Earth history. And because I'm used to Star Trek, you know, 50, 60 years, however long it's been, that, you know, okay, here we go with public stock footage, you know, here's right. Black and white World War II, you know, but then they show like January 6th. I'm like, yeah. Jesus, okay, we're doing this. Like, I don't even pay attention to the clips after that. I'm like, okay, all right, Star Trek, I see you.
See, but and then whatever, this is my problem with that is like, he's like, this is now the second Civil War, followed by the Eugenics War, followed by World War III. Which is
timeline's
weird.
A little jumbled.
The timeline is really jumbly here. Yeah. Which, whatever, it's not. It's a nitpick, I know, but it's just, maybe he just worded them backwards. I don't know, but Yeah, I was
maybe
also
we've
surprised.
Had it backwards the whole time. Hey.
not according to Picard's season 2 finale. But we won't talk about it.
There's a specific folder.
Where Project 90. Yeah.
My God. Anyways. Yeah.
No, and I don't know how this will work throughout the series. I know Darren does. But, like, there were elements of tone where some things I found, like, okay, this is silly. But because it's all mixed in, like, it wasn't all one thing. Like, for me, the sick bay chase was, like, it's stupid. But not in, like, I'm like, oh, this is stupid. But I'm just like, okay, this is silly. But that's fine. You can have some silliness. I just, Nurse Chapel's an odd character to me. And I don't know if it's the hair or her attitude. Or I know the hair is a weird thing to pick, but just not very Starfleet, you know, regulation.
It is. Chapel did, and I don't even want to say Ruby the wrong way.
Starfleet regulations.
She doesn't rub me. I like her, the character. I really do. And, like, the actress is, like, really good and, like, it's very high energy. And
she's actually a character. Like, she's not. Yeah. We know we're going to learn way more about Nurse Chapel than we did in any of TOS.
Sure. Yeah, totally.
When's the crush start?
Well, yeah, they tease that. But it is weird. It's just weird because it seems like a totally different character. And I know we don't get much of Chapel in the original series, but it is like feels like so disconnected. And I, of course, this is canon lock. This is stuff we've talked a bazillion times about. We don't need to, you know.
Uhura never did PowerPoint in the TOS.
I'm kidding. I mean, I feel like it's been long enough since TOS aired that I'm like, hey, let's just let them revisit these characters. Like, I'm not hung up as much on, you know, Nurse Chapel ever talk about X, you know.
Her fiancé, Dr. Roger Mudd.
Yeah, or something like that. It's like, you know, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Let's just tell these stories.
Well, Spock brought up his sister he's not supposed to talk about, so.
Well, you know.
Yeah, and also the whole, and this isn't, again, I'm very forgiving. The whole T'Pring stuff. You know, that's going to be a journey because I'm like, it sounds like I'm complaining. I'm not. This is an inquiry. Because you look at mock time, and I know we're going to get a mock Spock, so maybe that'll. But a mock time. I mean, like, I did not get the sexy time Spock T'Pring when I'm watching that original series episode. That they're apparently all jumping their bones in this one, which is fine. But you know, so
I mean, to me, and again, not remembering all the specifics of the episode mock time, but like. That's like 10 years after this, right? This is, she says he's gallivanting, you know, amongst the stars. Like he left her presumably at this point.
And she finds someone else.
And he just goes off and does his Starfleet stuff. I assume, like, I was actually kind of okay with the Spock T'Pring couple of scenes. I thought it was
very interesting.
It was like, meet cutesy and yeah.
And, you know, I think she was a very well-written Vulcan, like, you know, it's because there's that edge of humor where it's like, you know, they're obviously in a very intimate moment, but they're talking like Vulcans. And like, that's kind of funny because
I love when they kiss and the waiter's like, you can't do that here.
Yeah, I know.
You can't do that here.
But yeah. And then we have Uhura and we have
Dr. Mbeki. Is that
Mbeki?
He's cool. I like him.
I think, you know, because that's obviously Cage, you know, driven.
That's the same guy? No, it's not. Okay.
No, because the Cage is Dr. Boyce in the Cage.
Oh, okay.
You're right.
Oh, because that happened before. That happened way before at this point.
Yeah, but Dr. Mbeki is in TOS. I can't remember the episodes off the top of my head. But, I mean, because I don't know if, like, you know, D-Force was taken, you know, that week off. But, I mean, like, he's there. You know, he's, like, he's the Dr. Salar of TOS.
Oh, he's on the – okay, so he's, like, on the Enterprise as a captain – or, sorry, as a medical person in the original series. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I thought he was great. Right. He was really, you know, the little screen time he had. But, yeah, I thought he was interesting.
I don't know, Darren, because I don't even want you to – I mean, I know you're not going to give away spoils, but like, Noonien scene. Well, go ahead, Daniel. You seem to have some thoughts.
I'm sorry. Like, okay, like this is where they start to lose me. And it's like, this is the stuff that's never going to pay off. It's never, ever, ever going to pay off. Like, just name her something different. Okay. Someday we're going to find out she's related. I guess.
That could be the twist or something. You don't have to give it to us right now, right?
I just hate it because I know it's not going to lead anywhere interesting or fun. And I just, the whole time I'm thinking, like when she's on screen, even though she was kind of interesting, like the whole Gorn backstory is like terrifying.
Gorn sound absolutely terrifying.
So like, can I, and I don't, I'm not trying to be explicit, but I don't know if I heard it. Like, what did she say they did? I mean, it sounded like they like raped everyone and killed everyone.
Well,
I heard breeding sacks, and I'm like,
I think it's like an alien thing
where they might.
I think it's more like your food for their new young.
All right.
Yeah, it's more of like that.
All right. Because I was like hearing, I'm like, what are we doing here? This is a little brutal than I want in my pilot.
No, I think it's just that they eat you, or they like maybe use your body as like an incubator sort of a thing.
Okay.
Like they, that's kind of the impression I got.
And then they leave
one to watch.
They're
way scarier than like, you know, let's just make a piece of pipe cannon and we'll shoot him. It's like, aha, we got him. It's like, no, this is a effed up alien that we need to be very afraid of.
But that backstory is an interesting enough backstory for just a new character, for just someone who's just
the new Yar.
Well, she is a new character.
Well, yes, I understand that, but you don't have to tie her back. Do I need to bring up? I don't want to do it. You don't need to connect Soong to Khan. You don't need to connect Khan to Khan. Why are we doing this?
I will say they do note it on her name, like, and it is not. It's not as bad as you're fearing, Daniel. Pretty quickly, she's her own character. Uh-huh. There's really not like, and she's got a sinister strand of DNA in her that's going to cause her to be, it's like, no, there's none of that.
But then why do it? Like, why connect it at all? That's my point.
Are we going to have Lieutenant Hitler? I mean, just why?
It's just like, why do that? Either you want to tell a story with that character that is similar to like what you're saying, like she has to struggle with her inner whatever, or
I think they kind of do. I think they want to. I mean, we joke at the Lieutenant Hitler, but it's like it is kind of approaching what would a character have to go through if they had a famous last name of a mass murderer.
Like, you change your last name. It's really, really simple. I think it's even simpler in the 22nd century or whatever. I don't know. It's distracting. It's totally distracting. And I hate it. I really do.
And maybe for homework, I'll force y'all to watch Space Seed again. Because, and again, look, this crew is not the Enterprise. Well, I guess actually some of them are. But anyway, it's not the Enterprise crew from the original series. But like, it's like in that episode, it just strikes me as someone's like, Khan, I have to look it up in the computer what that is. Oh, he apparently was some like powerful guy in the 90s. Khan!
Lieutenant,
you know? Alphabetically. True. So anyway, but anyway, like I said, it just seems like she just has this sort of archetype character type, you know, the Lieutenant Yar, the kind of,
she does. And it's a pilot. So like this series is more of a episodic based, like this is like, there's definitely this is an Uhura type episode and this is a Khan type episode. Yeah. And this is a, you know, Una just Spock like episode or whatever.
Traumatized woman becomes security officer.
I mean, that is very Yarish.
You know? Yeah, like, again, not making light of anything, but like, just seems like, I mean, you don't see like the security men all being like, yeah, because of this trauma, I joined security. You know,
I mean, maybe they did. They just didn't tell us about it.
Worf is just acting out.
But she's also young, right?
Yeah.
Like, she seems like she was really young and they were giving her like the number one position, you know, temporarily. I was kind of confused by that, but I guess everybody on the ship seems really young, especially the transporter chief. That transporter chief
Kyle?
Is like 12. Yeah.
I think what they're, and again, I know this makes you mad, Daniel. I think what they're doing is they're planting all these TOS characters in order to use them.
I see what you're saying. Right. Like Uhura is a cadet.
Yeah.
Like, so she's like, she can be Lieutenant Uhura when Kirk gets on board or whatever. So Yeah, okay, fine, whatever.
I mean, transporter chief, how hard is it?
Well, apparently you can transport.
Oh, God. I you know, my eye twitched, and I'm like, whatever. I'm just doing it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
You can transport things into people's bodies / eyes? Whatever. Okay.
Now, fine. Come on, Daniel. Was it worth it for Where Are My Pants?
No. But it was fine. It was inoffensive. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Well, and what do you guys think of Una, number one? You know, we kind of don't see her till a little bit into the episode, but this is kind of, and not that she was a new character. I mean, we saw her a lot in Discovery, but this is kind of her reintroduction of, you know, the badass first officer in a way.
Well, yeah. Not that badass. You're captured, but
I felt bad for the other two characters
captured,
because those other two characters didn't even have lines. They were just standing there the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I did whatever. I don't, you know, I'm not thinking that hard. But like three people on the starship, it looked like a big starship for three people. Whatever, whatever. But I mean, I'm looking forward to her carrying her own episode. So that's, you know.
Yeah, we didn't get enough of her really to get a good sense of what was going on. But she was on the USS Archer, so there's a thing that happens. Yeah. Also, like you mentioned, three people on a starship, and that was a starship because it had, you know, a saucer section and a nacelle. Even though it's a lonely nacelle, there should never be an odd number of nacelles. I've said this 1,000 times, but I wanted to say, she is still a commander,
right?
And, like, I guess...
And this was on her off time.
That's what I'm saying. So I kind of wanted to talk about that. Like, she... So the Enterprise goes through everything that happens in Season 2 of Discovery. Now it goes into dry dock for a couple months for repairs and refit. That's fine. And then she just, like, takes that time and gets, like, kind of a command of her own ship, even though it's a tiny ship with only three people, and does first contact stuff? Like... I think she's a tryhard. I think she's just like really, really trying to impress somebody. I don't know. Like that seems
the problem is she's been offered command, but she just won't sit. I think not that this episode means to do it, and I think they also address it. And you'll have to remind me what they say about this, because the problem with making her badass and cool, which she is, I'm not trying to take it away, but like when they scan and they're like, oh, it's obviously not a warp core, it's a bomb, man. That was pretty easy to find out, wasn't it? Only a moron would think this is a warp core.
There's a line. There's a line where they say the reason is because our sensors are new. We just got them, and they have older sensors.
It just doesn't help her case that, like, right. You know. But yeah.
But what also doesn't help her case is the fact that she did beam down there, and she's like, in hindsight, maybe doing it covertly would have been the better play. Well, yeah, you're an alien. Like, what did you think was going to happen? She beamed down there and, like, just got captured immediately?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do like... I know this is going to be... From one episode, you shouldn't judge everything. It does have that Wild West feel, for lack of a better word, of TOS, where they're, like, a little fast and loose. Like, we're just, you know, beaming down to pre-warp it. I mean, yeah, they're doing the disguise and everything, but just, like, TOS. They're just beaming down and like, hey, guys, we're here. How's everyone doing? Oh, you're the Old West.
In TOS, most of the times they beam down, they didn't look like aliens. They didn't have to disguise themselves. They looked human.
I mean, they put a cloak on, but so everyone else, just, you know, we're here for the State of the Festival. You know.
Well, let's...
And we get the canonical renaming of General Order 1.
Yes, we do. Which I'm not sure if it'll stick, but...
now, is this better or worse than Jonathan Archer's? Maybe some sort of directive that'll be prime.
Maybe some sort of a General Order number 1. Yeah, no, it's whatever. I mean, whatever. Whatever. Who cares? We get it from April, though.
Oh.
We didn't talk about April.
Yeah, we get Roger... we get...
Robert.
Robert, April.
Well, Bob. He calls him Bob because they're buddies.
Well, I guess he's his former XO. So there you go.
Actually get a lot of crew history here. Like, we learn, like, Khan, Lady, was, you know, met number one somewhere. We learn, we learn that Pike has history with April. We learn, which is cool. I kind of like that, like, really quick backstory
feel
stuff.
Like fleshed out characters and not just like, this is the first time I've ever set foot on a starship.
Khan knows the or excuse me, singing or whatever her name is, knows the doctor, you know.
Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. They did that. What was that?
We'll find out, I guess.
But all he had to do was clear her for duty, which means he just had to make sure she was healthy, right? So this is like a standard checkup.
I'm sure there may have been some, you know, confidential records you may know about.
Okay. All right. Fine. That's fine.
I see here you're genetically modified, you know.
See, that's why Dr. Bashir got away with it for so long, because he was his own physician. He didn't have to.
I thought you were going to say, like, Starfleet Medical had a don't ask, don't tell him modification. Well, and then, you know, towards the end of the episode, we have Kirk steps on the bridge. Guys, Kirk is on the bridge. It's with a man. It's Ted Lasso right there on the bridge. And we were talking about this before, but I didn't look at a timeline, guys. I was trying to figure out. I was thinking that this was Kirk's father the whole time. I forgot that Kirk had a brother, apparently, named Sam.
I know for a fact that you don't have a brother.
But, so now Spock's got a sister. Kirk's got a brother. He's happy. So I think this is going to be interesting. I think, because, again, they're obviously playing it for the reveal, like, oh, Lieutenant Kirk has beamed up. That's all we're going to say for three more acts. And then it's like, oh, Kirk's coming on the bridge. He's like, are we going to see him? Like, we're looking at the runtime. Like, okay, guys, there's like only a couple minutes left. Like, what are we going to see? And then it's like, that is not James Kirk. Who is that?
Whatever.
I'm interested in this character. Well, because again, we know. In the real world, that the casting has happened for a James Kirk. So obviously, it makes sense that that could be this person.
Captain James Kirk.
Well, he's only lieutenant at this point, right? Maybe even
No. I'm talking about. Well, I don't even know. Who knows?
Sometimes he just gets to be captain. It's fine.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
No, he's actually a third year cadet right now.
but you're the only one that can take over the ship out of the 150 people here. You're the best qualified.
I mean, sidebar, I did like how Cadet O'Hara had the same cadet insignia that Tilly did.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
For Enterprise, which makes sense. It's the same era.
But, yeah, I mean, it'd be crazy if, one season they had one uniform and then the next season they changed the uniform in the same. That'd be weird. Yeah.
Who would do such a thing?
But what did you guys think of Sam Kirk? Are you wanting more of him? Are you thinking they're just throwing the name around? I mean, he can't be like, I'm a famous Kirk, because Kirk is nothing yet. Your brother is going to.
The dad was XO of the. Kelvin, anyway. I mean, which it should exist in this universe that he was XO of the Kelvin.
It should. Yeah. Should be non destroyed.
Yep. I can go both ways. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was a little cute reveal. I guess my problem is theoretically that they're in pursuit of James Kirk. I don't need you to be in pursuit of Captain Kirk. This is Captain Pike and the Enterprise. I'm happy with that. We don't need to chase the TOS. This isn't Enterprise. We're building to TOS. No, you're your own series. We know eventually Kirk takes command. It's not tomorrow. I don't know if it's next season. I don't know. But we don't need to race towards it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel
it's going to be like, we're not chasing Kirk's shuttle to pick him up and bring him on board.
Chasing Kirk's mustache. But
I think it is fun. I think it's fun doing it with a brother. I obviously I will say we do have more of Sam Kirk going forward, which is nice. It's not just his character literally exists for this joke reveal. Which would have been a lot.
Does he shave his mustache? People are like, you know who you look like?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I ever cared enough about Kirk's brother. Again, we had the foggiest memory that he even existed in Star Trek. And sometimes those are the funnest characters to go back and explore, but you kind of have to have like a really good circumstance. I don't know if they have a really good reason to bring Kirk's brother in. Other than it's Kirk's brother, I guess, and then Richard will get Kirk. So
they're going to do a trip to, I forget the planet he ends up getting killed on, but unless they're going to do an episode where they visit that planet, and I'm going to stay here because I met this nice, nice young lady. I mean, when I get married and have a kid, who knows what will happen, years from now. And so, I don't know.
It begins with a D. I just looked it up. Demeter? I'm not going to remember.
Anyway. So like
Deneba.
Deneba system. But anyway, is that where the Denebian slime doll? Anyway, slime devil is?
Denobula.
So, like I said, I don't know. I mean, fan service cuts both ways. I don't want to be like, we're going to play this character there. Wink. We all know what's going to happen. I'm like, you know, I get it. Don't be Enterprise season 4 all the time. You can be Enterprise.
Yeah,
season
no. Two. No. Yeah. Well, that's why you don't name a character Noonien soon. Whatever. It's just like, just don't do it.
No, I see your concern, Daniel, and it very well may. I don't have a good reason for why they named the character that, but I think we'll see how it pans out.
You know, I almost wonder, and I don't know this for a fact. You know, Zero. Sometimes I wonder if we can blame the studio. Like, guys, we know what Star Trek. Khan sells Star Trek. And they're like, no. Because sometimes, you know, because when we get like, you never know who to believe. But just to use an example, like with, you know, the international rights not being spread, you have Kurtzman like, it's not up to me. I'd love to do it. So it's like, whether that's true or not. But so like someone above, you know, him. So you never know. We're like, you got to have a con. And we don't. Okay, fine. Whatever.
But even like.
Make him happy.
I
Star Trek without Kirk versus Khan, right?
Yeah. Like you got to mention Kirk. Like, what? No, this is our. Mention Kirk. Okay. We'll mention Kirk.
Oh, we'll just bring his brother on board, I guess. Yeah. I mean, like, I could see that. And I guess that would be. Whatever, I mean, an excuse, I suppose. But the thing is, like, even from that perspective, even from a top-down marketing sort of Star Trek perspective, nobody's going to watch this new show because it has someone named Khan, who is presumably... Sorry, I keep saying Khan, I know. But you know what I mean. Someone who alludes to Khan, who is, you know, so far removed that wouldn't
That's be... what they said about Into Darkness. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, maybe exactly.
Is Roddenberry's ghost still trying to find that old friend from the armed services days? Maybe that's why.
We're playing. I did really like because you have that emotional appeal from Pike the whole episode, which you know, like this future self, we know. But I like being given something like that. We know we have Pike having know that, you know, so we can ignore it or we can deal with it. And like, well, we're going to deal with it. And that'll be the driver. And, you know, as a writer, I like, you know, you're forced to have to deal with something, even though if you don't want to deal with it. And so how they get through that is always interesting to me. And so I think, you know, they got through it for the most part about dealing with that character and, you know, him deciding I'm on board now, so I'll shave and then shave the sides.
Hey, we find out that Pike is Montanian. Is that right?
If I remember the cage, he was from Mojave. Now, I don't know if they said California, which presumably that's what it was. So I don't know. Maybe he just wanted to feel close to Bozeman in First Contact.
That's what I was curious about. Okay, so he isn't from Montana. He just lives there.
Yeah.
Okay, which is fine. I mean, that's no big deal. Like, people move all the time. He's got this big old ranch, though, and like, of course, there's horses. Like,
he was a horse guy in the cage.
Yes,
and,
yes.
So,
does he have his own saddle on the Enterprise?
How big of a horse guy? They're all horse guys. All these captains, they all love horses.
See, that makes me feel like Picard should have had some sort of like statue of Pike on a horse. You know, it's like Enterprise captains with horses. Like, it should have been a thing.
With the horse kind of the horse was reaching out like to the future.
Oh, it showed him the horse.
It's hoof up and it's looking out to the. Yeah. So it's about to get on a transport. And horses do not like being transported. Let me just tell you that they do not like it.
See, I can tell you the train of thought, but you're not interested. The train of thought got me to the line of Pike saying to Spock, "Are you familiar with the United States of America?" I'm like,
"Oh boy,
Spock. Oh, yes, boy. He is. I'm not just saying that because like, oh, U.S. is the best country. No, anyone like, are you familiar with the continent of Asia? Yeah, no, I've looked at a globe of you can't tell. Okay, maybe you can tell me. You can't tell me they don't still call the USA the USA. Like, it may just be like a region,
right?
Like,
right,
you tell me, where is Starfleet Academy located in the region of California. Like, I mean, come on now. Don't get me. I mean, I get post-World War III, things change, but like, you
right.
know.
What did you think? I wanted to, we, Darren and I talked about this before you joined, Philip, but who, Lady Captain in the beginning. Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What ship do you think she is in command of?
As if, I hope it's not the Columbia, because then it would only be women that are in ship command.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
the Constitution class Columbia. Like,
maybe she's in charge of the Defiant before Crazy Captain.
Oh no!
No, no, no. She's fine because she would transfer off before.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like she would get promoted or whatever.
Defiant's not the Crazy Captain. You're thinking of. I can't remember.
I thought it was Defiant because then they get it. Yeah, Decker.
Decker is another ship that starts with a C that I can't think of now.
Constellation.
Yes, because Defiant is the one that phased into the Tholian web that we see in Enterprise.
That's right. That's right. You're right. You're right.
Who gets by the way?
What we see in A Mirror Darkly ends up in the Mirror Universe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's not my cup of tea, but I wasn't having conniption over it. The Pike and Spock two dual scenes of like, these guys are DTF. I mean, like, I don't, you know, I'm glad they're very sexual individuals. I don't know if we have to see both of them in a row, you know, like, I mean, whatever. It just seems odd to me, but whatever.
I kind of liked the idea that like, and yeah, I'm, you know,
I was laughing at that. He's like, are you naked, Spock? She's like, no, but he was about to be. It's like, what? That's a very Vulcan thing to say.
It was hilarious. Yeah, it was a good line.
She's like, hi, Chris. It's like, what? It's like, what are you? It's like,
I liked the idea that like just these two captains, like whenever they just happen to, you know, it's just like,
that's fine.
Yeah, and she seemed cool for the 2 seconds. I hope she comes back at some point because she seemed interesting.
But. I was saying, you know, Lorca hooked up with another officer, so we love that character. So apparently it's a new trend. I don't know.
I mean, this isn't what we're talking about. I can get the Starfleet captains, you know, they have ships that pass in a night relationship.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? Like Picard talked about how lonely he was, you know, all the time because
Daniel. What? The reason Picard was lonely.
Oh, God.
You know this.
Don't.
I don't know if you know this.
Let's close it up. We're done. We're done. All right.
If I wish that skeleton key had been in another person's house.
Man, if I've only I'd had a counselor, a capable counselor around me for years to deal with these issues. No, I'm not blaming her. The blame is solely on the writers of Picard. That's all. That's it. But
what they went from O'Brien must suffer to Picard must be traumatic.
Solved. I'm making fun. She solved his Borg crisis. I'm sensing something else in this other part of your emotional. No, Borg crisis. That's all we need to worry about.
That was it. Onassia, I want a clip of like when it's Best of Both Worlds Part 2, he's like looking out the window. He has that pause moment, and then it just like cuts to like him imagining his mother dying. It's like, wait, that's not what you're supposed to be traumatized about.
Well, then I want Tim to also be like, and you know, my dad died young, but I often pictured him old and yelling at me. Get the clip of Tapestry. Why did you join Starfleet?
Guys, no. Well, yeah. We're not talking about Picard. We're not doing it.
Well, he even said, like, he imagined her, like, asking for tea because there is that scene where we're like, I thought his mother was alive. And
we're not talking about Picard. We're just not going to do it.
It's the Bruno of Star Trek.
Oh, right. Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you about Picard, where would they find you?
Oh man, they could find me on Twitter at @oneupdan. That's the number one, and not the word, as in the only series you need to watch that has Picard in it is TNG.
And Philip, where would someone talk to you about the correct way to do star dates in the UK? Is it backwards? Is it forwards?
They can find me at NC Public Servant.
And if someone wanted to talk to me about Star Trek and my predictions of the future.
Ooh, very accurate for some reason.
Find me on Dr.
He's got the almanac, man. That's what's going on.
the space almanac. Well, I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel LaPrue.
Stranded here on the Enterprise again in City Alpha 3.